Good morning and welcome to the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. This morning, we are absolutely delighted to have with us from the FBI here in Knoxville, Stacey Bohannon, the public affairs specialist, and from the Nova Southeastern University all the way from Miami, Florida, Mr. Daryl Hulse. Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning,
Stacey.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming. And let's talk about this great program. Today, we're going to be addressing parents, grandparents, teachers, especially if you work at a school or I guess if you have a school-aged child. This program about safe online surfing for kids is ideal. Daryl, you started the FBI SOS program in Miami. Maybe start by telling us, what is it?
What is it? The Safe Online Surfing Program is a free online internet safety program. It was developed at Nova Southeastern University, and it's backed by the FBI Cyber Division. Essentially, it's an online scavenger hunt where a school will register to participate. Kids will take a pre-quiz, what do you know about internet safety now? They go through a scavenger hunt that's pre-screened. It's 10 websites that have internet safety tips, and then they take a post-quiz, what have you learned about internet safety? Mm-hmm. At the end of each month, the school in the country that generates the most points on the post-quiz wins a national trophy and a visit from the FBI.
Now, when you say that this is backed by the FBI, there is an important distinction there. This is not run by the FBI. It's backed by the FBI. Maybe, Stacey, you can speak to that slight clarification, because you don't want people to, you're not giving up any information to the FBI when you participate in the SOS program. This is just, it's an educational tool to prevent crime against children.
That is correct. And the FBI, we strive to have partnerships with those in the private industry and community activists and those kind of folks. And Daryl and the university have come up with this program, and it fits nicely with the cyber mission and the Safe Online Surfing Initiative that the FBI has. And it's worked out as a great partnership, like we have so many across, such as the billboard initiatives and those kind of things. And we're finding that so many of these partnerships are valuable to what we do every day.
Okay, so the mission here from the FBI point of view is to educate internet users how to avoid getting into a criminal situation.
Absolutely. The safety of the children is our number one priority, and educating those children about what is okay and what is not okay when you're online.
All right, well, let's start there with defining internet crimes against children and what exactly is it that we're trying to prevent with the FBI SOS program.
Well, as you know, they're across the country, the internet crimes and those kind of things are a national problem. It crosses all boundaries, all genres, and like I said, our safety of the children is the number one. This initiative was adopted officially in the fall of 2009 out of our cyber division, out of the Innocent Images National Initiative Unit.
Innocent Images
National Initiative Unit. That's another one of our acronyms.
Okay.
And it was officially adopted as a partnership, and it is now a national initiative of the FBI.
All right. Daryl, predators are everywhere. That's what this program teaches kids to recognize. What are the symptoms of an online predator? What does the program, the FBI SOS program, teach kids to beware of?
So one of the components of the SOS program would be to recognize if a child is online chatting with a predator, if the predator happens to be disguised as another child.
Mm-hmm.
So they may do some things like want the child to send pictures of themselves or ask them to provide personal information that would reveal where they are.
Mm-hmm.
They might ask them to meet them in a certain place offline. So those would be things that kids should be on the lookout for.
So these are the red flags that FBISOS.org, by the way, I guess we should give the website, FBI-SOS.org is the site where you can actually, it's all self-explanatory, isn't it? You've built it, you yourself built the website. It's been how many years now?
It is. It's in the sixth year. The program's in its sixth year. The website, we try to design it so when you visit, anybody that visits will know exactly where to click. If it's a teacher or a student or a parent, it's obvious where they would click.
All right. Now, when you say that the FBI SOS program is a school-based program, let's define that. I mean, because I know anybody can go on there and learn internet safety by just clicking around the site, but there's more to it than that. There's incentives. It's fun for kids to do, but by making it a school-based program, it even makes it safer.
The idea of being a school-based program is that Each school can sign up. Each middle school or elementary school across the country could sign up. It's absolutely free to them. And each student at that school is part of their team. So as the kids are learning the material and taking the quiz, their score, individual scores, becomes part of their school's team score. So it makes it a little bit more fun. They get to be part of a team. They're trying to win the national trophy for their school. And that makes it a team atmosphere and competitive, which makes it fun.
And let me ask you, Stacey Bohannon, from the Knoxville field office of the FBI, what is Knoxville's connection then to the FBI SOS program? I mean, I even see on the front page that the Knoxville FBI Citizens Academy gets a mention as one of the more active groups with this program.
Yes, the Citizens Alumni Association is a group of folks who have gone through and graduated from our FBI Citizens Academy that we have.
I happen to be one.
That is correct. We are very appreciative of that. Have gone and have volunteered to kind of spearhead this effort along with our field office as a partnership, as we are throughout the Bureau, and help get the word out about this program. And that's our goal for Tennessee. We have not had a national winner yet in the state of Tennessee, and we would love to see that happen this year. And so that goal with that partnership with our alumni is to get the word out to schools and have our alumni members make that point of contact in the schools and have a national winner and be able to promote that and reward those kids for hard work that they're putting
in. And they get a trophy, they get recognition on the website through the FBI.
Absolutely. We would come out, FBI personnel, myself, an agent from the office, and likely our special agent in charge, who you know from the academy, would come out. And
Special Agent Lambert has been here on this program.
Yes.
Talking about terrorism in the past.
Yeah. Yes, and he would come out and recognize those kids. And we also recognize the top five students that score the highest with the program. Said recognize that school and invite the media to come out and be part of that event. So we're looking forward to be able to do that this year.
Okay. So when we're talking about the program, and I know that the goal of the Citizens Academy Alumni Association is to reach decision makers at a school. If I'm sitting at home listening to this program on the radio, and I'm a parent, I'm a grandparent, I'm maybe even a teacher, what steps can our audience take to get FBI SOS into their kids' school?
If you're a parent or a grandparent and you have children of this age and you have any concern at all for internet safety and their well-being online, the idea would be just to contact the school and first just ask them what the school does about internet safety, if they have a program, if they are doing anything at all. If they're not doing anything, then this is an easy program to implement.
It's kind of turnkey, isn't it?
It's ready to go.
Because all you're asking them to give up is one class period, you know, or some schools choose to do more, right?
They may. It may take two or three, depending on how the teacher wants to use the program.
But you could theoretically knock it out in an hour.
You could knock it out probably in 90 minutes.
Okay.
90 minutes. So it might be two class sessions. But that gives them the pre-quiz, the scavenger hunt, the post-quiz, and all of the fun.
And also I want to talk about, as we're talking about internet safety and on safe online surfing, some basic pointers for mom, for dad, to use at the home. When my kids were of school age, you know, we didn't have laptops. Everyone in the family didn't have their own laptop. We had, you know, one big clunky desktop.
Sure.
And we knew, as we read up on it, that it had to go in the family room and that it would not go in the bedroom. It would go in the family room and that anybody could walk by. And just that's a simple preventative measure to keep the kids from going to websites that they wouldn't want mom or dad to see over the shoulder. What's the old chat room code for parents over the shoulder? Yeah. Well, I was the parent over the shoulder.
Yep. And that's just as valid now as it was when computers first came about on the internet.
So, but if all your kids have laptops now and they can get up and walk around your whole Wi-Fi enabled house, things have changed just in the past few years.
They have. At elementary and middle school, parents should still be watching as closely as possible what their children are doing online. But maybe another thing might be to just tell your children, you are going to check their history, their browser history, from time to time to see where they've been visiting or maybe who they've been chatting with. Mm-hmm. Those are just real good common sense things to do. And I think children expect that that's going to happen. Parents are going to check their browser.
That's the beauty of the safe online surfing is even if your school is not participating, we do want to emphasize that parents can go out there. They can view the scavenger hunt. They can view the pretest. The only thing they can't see is the post-test, but everything that you're going to need that would be in the post-test, you can view in the pretest or in the scavenger hunts. And you're kind of see the things that the kids will be learning. And it's a great way to start that conversation with your child. If it's not something they're getting at the school, parents can absolutely do this and at least open that line of communication to talk about some of these tips or ask them if, hey, has this happened to you when you're online? So it's a great talking point to have with your child you know, one-on-one as a parenting tool, even if your school doesn't use it.
The website fbi-sos.org has links for principals and teachers, and that's obviously where you would go and register your school if you want to get into the competition, if you want to win the trophy. And that's where you start for that and make it, you know, a part of your curriculum for third through eighth grade, right?
Right. It's very simple. If a teacher or a principal goes to the website and clicks on the principal-teacher link, it will tell them everything they need to know about implementing the program. They can read all of the information less than 15 minutes. They will understand clearly the program and register their school.
Because I've seen that as a little bit of a hurdle, that teachers already are taxed to the limit in terms of the amount of time that they have. And when you're asking them to add on something else, how do you overcome that? When you're talking to a teacher who's thinking, oh, I'm already overworked, how are you going to ask me to add something? It really, you're not asking them to add a lot, are you?
No, especially if they already have, if they're already considering internet safety as part of their curriculum, this is just a tool that makes it easy.
Well, what department would handle this? I mean, are there schools that have technology teachers, or who teaches this?
Across the country, it's very commonly the technology teacher that handles it. But more and more health teachers are handling it. Even social studies teachers from time to time are the ones that take it on. There's always a teacher in the school that thinks this is a very important item and they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what they teach.
When the kids go through the process, we keep saying the word scavenger hunt. At our meeting last week, I learned that the scavenger hunt actually takes them to, how do I say, legitimate websites. Without I'm not trying to make it sound any other
pre-screened.
Website sound
They're pre-screened.
Less. But I mean, these were websites you'd heard of, you know, like Disney, right. And PBS. And what was the other one? The Boston Public Library, the ones that examples that you showed us in the meeting. So, and you're actually going out onto the actual internet and learning about safety and security from places that have published about safety and security, correct?
That's correct. When we built the program, the whole idea was not that we would create any more content. There's a lot of good content about internet safety out on the web. Our program simply points kids and teachers to where that content is. And lets them review it. Gives them a reason to review it. There's a challenge, a competition, and if you review the program well, the information well, you'll do well in the quiz and you'll win the trophy.
Now, Daryl, we're talking with Daryl Hulse from the FBI SOS program and with Stacey Bohannon from the Knoxville Field Office of the FBI, the Public Affairs Specialist. You, Daryl, are an educator. Your background is in education. Tell me about what makes a kid want to do this. What's the hook? How do you know that you've built a program that works, that the kids even want to try?
The first thing is the very obvious thing. We're letting kids go online and do exactly what they want to do. They want to surf on the web, and we just give them the way to do that in a safe environment because we've pre-screened all of these websites. Mm-hmm. The other thing is it's competitive. Kids like to be a part of a team, and they like the challenge of where do they score with other kids across the nation, and how does their team score? How does their school score with other schools? And they can see that in real time on the website as they participate, and that's what makes it fun for them.
Now, when you're looking at the statistics, at the stuff that the public doesn't see, how many clicks you're getting and how much time they're spending and blah, 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 what kind of feelings are you starting to get as the program has matured? And I know the new website just rolled out, so it's been all revamped and revised. What kind of gut feeling do you have about the success of the program at this level?
The best thing we're seeing is that the increase in the number of schools across the country that are participating. That's the first thing that we see going up. It's almost doubled from this time last year. So the word is getting out, and schools know that they have to do it. A lot of states have mandates that require it, so this is just an easy program to snap in there.
What does a state require, and how do you keep up with what states require for their mandates?
For the most part, someone at the state contacts us and says, here's our mandates are, for example, Illinois is each grade has to have 2 hours of instruction per year per grade. So we built the program to satisfy almost every state mandate that we could find.
Okay. All right. So you're helping them out.
Yeah.
You're giving them this gift. They're looking around. The educator's looking around going, what am I going to do? How am I going to teach this stuff? How am I going to teach internet security? And you, with the backing of the FBI and Nova Southeastern University, have said, look, here's something. It's made by educators. It's vetted, right, by the FBI. Not run by, but vetted by the FBI. Here, do it.
That's exactly the way it happened. And it And it is so easy. There's nothing to purchase. There's nothing to install on any computers. It's all web-based. So it's just a matter of having an internet connection.
Well, then cynically, I have to say, what's in it for you? I mean, what's the hook? If it's all, I mean, is it just because the FBI is doing, you know, good deeds, philanthropy, or is it there's more to it? What?
There are a couple of things. One, it allows our university to go nationwide and share the program.
Okay.
It's very innovative, and that's what our university does.
All right. And so we're talking Nova Southeastern University
in Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale, okay.
The other thing is the agent, the Crimes Against Children agent that first came to me and asked me to help, he said, Daryl, if we can just help one kid, or if it's one parent, I don't have to explain what happened to their child, it will all be worth it. And the more I understand what that job is for those agents, the more I can appreciate if it's one kid, it's worth it.
Well, all right. At our meeting last week, you had an anecdote about one kid. Can you, knowing that we're on the radio here, and obviously we're not going to, give away any secrets about a crime against a child, but can you relate that that story about someone who used the FBI-SOS.org site?
Sure. There was a child in Seattle that went through the program, and she recognized that there was a guy on the outside world, over 18, asking her for personal information, asking her to send pictures. He was sending her pictures, and she recognized that it just wasn't right. It was what she had learned to look out for. And she may not have had a trusted adult in her area that she was really comfortable with, but she did report that through our FBI SOS website, and we were able to relay that back to an agent in the Seattle area who took care of that problem for her.
So when you look at the site, it's intended to be an educational site, and it's that you take this quiz, see what you know about internet security and safety, then go out and actually do a little research on it in a fun mm-hmm. way, mm-hmm. and then take another quiz to see what you've learned in the time. But because, as you say, someone may realize in that time period, oh my gosh, there is a link on there. Is that what the cyber tip line link is, or where is that? What am I looking for? What link am I clicking on?
The cyber tip line is actually goes back to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. That is really where these should be reported, because they know how to handle them. They know how to redirect them to the right agency to take care of them.
Okay. All right. Now let's talk about, we're talking about the FBI Safe Online Surfing Internet Challenge. It's a website you get at FBI-SOS.org. One hurdle that I know from my involvement is that little leap of faith when you register your name and everyone's like, well, I don't want to put my name into a website. How does that work? And at some point we have to just say, all right, we trust this is a good program because it's vetted by the FBI. Describe that registration process of participating. Once your school has signed up, what does the student and the parent do?
Okay. There is no personal information that is collected on each student. Once a school is registered,
because that's what you're teaching them
exactly.
not to do, obviously.
it seems a little contrary when they're registering, because we do ask them to type their name into a screen, but that their actual personal name is not stored in the server. It's just held in the browser until they get a generic username and password, which is one click away.
And the reason you store it temporarily is just so that it's for the teacher's benefit, really.
Right.
Not you don't care what their name is. Assign them a number.
And we never actually see it. What it does is it allows the teacher to get a printout with the student's name on it and the username and password, so they can identify which students from their school are participating and what their generic username and password is.
It's kind of so you know who to get the trophy to, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what it is.
That's really all.
The top five students at the winning school, we will ask for their names at the end of the month, because we print out personalized certificates, and the agent that shows up will do a photo op handing that certificate to the child. So it's a fun event.
All right. Now explain, we're talking about the FBI SOS program. Explain, Daryl, the part about how it's a monthly thing. And this is, I'm not 100% clear on myself. What is the, every month it resets or something like that? I mean,
right.
What's the reset?
So each month the contest starts over, which allows schools to, if it's a school that has 300 or 400 kids and they can't get them all in 1 month, the program starts over at the beginning of every month, allowing more kids to take it. Kids to take it over again if they want to, and it allows us to award every month. So every month there's a national winner.
Okay, in each of the grade levels.
In each of the grade levels.
All right, and how has that changed? When I first heard about this program, it was not as wide as it is now. You've widened the target audience.
The target audience, sure. We started off, actually, the agent that came to me, he said we'd like to target 6th and 7th graders. within a month of us starting the program, principals said, no, we need fifth grade and we need eighth grade. So it was fifth through eighth grade, but just one program. When the cyber division took over the program in November of 2009, their request was also that we broaden it to have individual programs for third through eighth grade. Now there's a program age appropriate for third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, up through eighth grade.
All right, Stacy, let me ask you then, what is the success in East Tennessee, or what kind of feedback have you gotten? I know that you teach a class at one of the local schools, and you're implementing it there.
Yes. Right now, we have 12 schools in the state of Tennessee that are participating, and that number may be up a little bit since then if we've had some schools sign up, and we've got six different counties participating. Of course, we would love to see those numbers go up. I think one of the things with the improvements to the program and the expansion is that, like Daryl said, it was kind of a one-size-fits-all program to begin with, just because it was so new and we were kind of out in front of that. But now with it breaking it down to the third through the eighth grade level and tailoring that for each of those age groups, it's an easier sell to the teachers in the schools, because before we had to rely on the teachers or maybe the principal or whoever was the decision maker to kind of decide what grade do we offer this to. And now we've alleviated that because we've made it specific and they can decide, you know, which grade level just based on that student's grade level. So I think that simplified that and makes it easier because, again, it takes more work off and makes less time for the teachers and the administrators to implement it.
Do you have to start at the third grade, or can you come in as an eighth grader and take it and be a beginner?
Absolutely. You can start wherever you like. In the program, if you notice there, that talks about, it has a breakdown. At third grade, you will learn objective A, B, C, and D. And then as you go to the fourth grade, maybe you learn eight objectives. And then as the grade level expands, the objectives. But of course, it's inclusive. It's like an add-on that you just get more features as you go up.
So no matter what grade level you're at, you're still getting all
it
of the steps.
It covers all of the items.
Correct.
Okay. And Daryl, as an educator, again, from Nova Southeastern, what are the topics that you start with at third grade and upward?
It was a lot of research that went into it, a lot of requests to teachers around the country to ask what things should be covered. So in third grade, for example, they might learn about creating a strong password so that other kids can't guess their password, or anyone could guess their password. Cyberbullying might be a part of that. And privacy, what is their privacy and why do you hold your personal information private?
What kind of changes in the course of the 6 years have you had to make for, let's say, Facebook? Because Facebook used to be a college thing and then it became an old people thing. And now it's even a middle school thing.
It is. And we've had to make changes. When we started, it was only predators that was the problem, predators. Of course, now it's social media. It's sexting on the cell phones. It is just your personal privacy, identity theft. It's gone.
Okay, well, talk to me and the other parents about some basic safety tips for social media. What is it that I have to be, first thing that comes to mind for me with college-age kids is, you know, don't put pictures of yourself drinking on the internet. It'll come back to haunt you as a job interview, but that's not the same as safety for younger kids.
No, but it's the idea. If you put a picture out on the internet, whether it's on Facebook or any other site, it's out there forever. Anybody can download it. They can modify it.
Yeah. And Facebook owns it, by the way. Just FYI, if you upload it to Facebook,
exactly.
Guess who has the copyright of that picture?
Exactly.
Yeah, Facebook.
So that would be a big thing. Another thing is, when it comes to the cyberbullying issue, if anybody else gets your password and they can hack into your account, then you've lost everything that's yours. It belongs to somebody else at that point as soon as they can log into your account.
We've heard stories about crazy moms who created fake MySpace or Facebook pages just so they could bully their daughter's rivals in school. It was horrible.
It's the harshest thing out there.
Yeah. All right. So Daryl Hulse from Nova Southeastern and Stacy Bohannon from FBI Knoxville. FBI SOS, we're running out of time, but I know there's still a lot of ground to cover. What am I missing? What do we still have to touch on to get you at home to click on that website today and say, hey, this is something I want, you know, my kid to do at school?
I think the most important thing is if a parent, a teacher, a grandparent is concerned about internet safety and their children's safety online, they should at least look into it. This is not a magic bullet. This is not the end of the line of what it takes to keep kids safe, but it's a step. It's a tool. So to check it out, maybe a school is already using another program, and that's fine. This is not meant to displace any other good program. It's just a program, a tool. If they're not doing anything, they should do something.
And now, Stacy, I know here in East Tennessee, you mentioned that it's still a newer program. We've only just gotten on board with it. There's still a great opportunity. How can we get someone locally to win that big trophy?
Well, hopefully through the good works of our office and our partnership with the Alumni Association. If folks want to call in to the office, and I'll be happy to try to come out and speak with that school or have one of our Alumni Association members be a champion for that school and set up that relationship, I will be happy to walk them through it. I will spend as much time as I need to get those schools online and get them competing and accomplish that winner this year.
Daryl, I'm so jealous of you because one of my goals is to travel to every of the 50 states as the champion of this program. You're traveling, what is it, every month to award another trophy?
Well, I travel every month to award the trophy, but I travel just about every week to a field office somewhere in the United States to present the program. So,
some of the sample questions might be, which of the following is the strongest password? And then you've got one that's just a word like a name, one that's got like a month and a year, and one that's just like upper lowercase. Why is the upper lowercase crazy looking nonsense one, the one that's hardest to remember, why is that the best password?
It's the one that doesn't reveal any personal information. So a lot of kids, an easy password might have the month of their birth, their name, and the day of their birth at the end. So that's kind of easy for anybody with a little bit of clever hacking ability to figure out. If you use something that just nobody's going to guess because it doesn't pertain to you, that's the strongest kind of password.
I know some people who use, they take a song lyric that means something to them and use the initials of the words in that particular song lyric because...
Perfect.
Like, honestly, that's my problem. And maybe I'm just old, but I can't remember all the stinking passwords that I have.
I will compete with you. I guarantee you I have more passwords and more combinations than...
I bet you do, considering you work for the FBI and I don't.
Yes.
Our company... and many companies do this, require us to change our login password every so often. My personal theory is that this has a backlash because if you could walk up and down and see all the post-it notes with your current with the current password on the computer because people don't remember their new passwords.
It's got to be strategic. You have to be thinking of, how am I going to do this so I can remember it? And if you are going to write it down, which most people have to, put it somewhere that it's, you know, obviously safe and hidden. That's a good common sense item that all of us can use that one. You don't have to be a child to understand that.
Maybe
practice.
Bury it in with something else, but don't necessarily write password and then your password right after it.
My password is.
I've been meaning to store all my passwords, you know, for my wife in the event of my eventual death, so she can get on there and say, "Hey, everybody, he's gone."
That's good thinking ahead.
Yeah, but
good,
I haven't done it yet. I mean, I haven't done that. You know, there's a lot of things I haven't done yet. All right, FBI SOS, taking action to prevent crimes against children is what it says right here on the brochure. A couple more last-minute tips for those people who are just joining us. Go to the website, fbi-sos.org, and that's where you'll learn another internet safety tip, such as what? Pull one out of your hat that you have gotten good response for from kids.
Downloading songs and information that's copyrighted is against the law, and it can be as dangerous as giving away your password because that you're violating a law.
Well, I think we have several University of Tennessee students who learned that lesson the hard way a few years back, right? Not that you would know Stacy Bohanna from the FBI.
Correct.
That's a big thing that most kids don't think of that as being a crime, but it really is.
All right.
Also, I was going to say, if they visit the website and they still have questions, please feel free to call the Knoxville Field Office. You can call us at 544-0751 and just ask for me, Stacy Bohannon, and they will transfer you. And if you leave me a message, I assure you I will get back in touch with you.
And before we go, maybe you can talk about a little bit about the internet crimes against children, which is not just an FBI thing, but it's a Knoxville Police Department thing. It's an everybody police department thing.
Absolutely. We have, I believe, top-notch ICAC task force in the country.
ICAC, yes. Internet Crimes
It's the Internet
Against
Crimes.
Children.
I'm sorry, acronyms have it. Tom Evans and Mel and those folks over there at KPD, they do a tremendous job here locally. I cannot praise them enough for the work that they do and mention that, yes, they are integral. And there are many police departments across the East Tennessee that also have similar setups, and they are. It's phenomenal work that they do, and absolutely, it's not something I don't want the FBI to take complete credit for the work that goes on in the innocent images. It is absolutely a partnership through local departments.
And
as well.
I was impressed that without revealing, you can't reveal how they're able to track down these child pornographers or people who own copies of child pornography. But there are methods using technology to find out and identify the people who have these images on their computer.
Yes, and the folks who do that,
because they have gone out in public to get them somehow via the internet.
Yes, and the folks who do that, they spend a lot of hours with training, and they're trying to keep one step ahead of those predators out there, and they do a fabulous job, and yes, they do.
Well, very much. I appreciate your time very much. Stacey Bohannon, the public affairs specialist from the Knoxville field office of the FBI. Daryl Hulse from the Nova Southeastern University, the originator, the man behind the FBI SOS program. Thank you very much for coming in today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Immediately get to your internet. Click on FBI-SOS.org and get your child's teacher and or principal to sign up for the program. This is the East Tennessee Report, a public affairs program of the Journal Broadcast Group. My name is Frank Murphy. We'll talk to you again next Sunday.